Okay, we are on Samach Vav and Aleph. And the Gemara is dealing with the question that we left off yesterday. We gave one answer. And that is, if there's a halacha that says, Kinyana Shekana Kinyan can eat Truma, if your acquisition gets an acquisition, that second acquisition can eat Truma. So here, the Kayan acquired a wife, albeit illegal, and she can't eat Truma, but her acquisition is an acquisition of your acquisition. And an acquisition of your acquisition should be able to eat Truma. You're losing your status, Baruch Mashiach, what can I tell you? What? You need some truth in it, right?
No, he doesn't. He's helping
me breathe. IT person.
Yeah.
So, the Gemara's answer was, the first answer was Ravina's answer, I believe, that the acquisition of the acquisition does not eat directly from the Kayan, but eats through the rights of the acquisition. And therefore, if the acquisition, the number one, cannot eat Truma, acquisition number two can be better than that. That's what Ravina's answer was. We are up to Barava Amar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 lines at the bottom. Rava gives a second answer. Is a Mizoraisa Mecha Achli? He disagrees with Ravina.
But I thought the first answer was Pasuk. The answer, I thought we had a
pasuk. We have no
pasuk.
The question was the pasuk. That was the question. Why can't Avdi?
Right.
The question was based on a pasuk.
Right.
And Ravina's answer was that an acquisition of an acquisition can only eat through the acquisition. The pasuk is allowing the acquisition of an acquisition to eat because the acquisition eats. But it goes through her, through that person, and therefore, if the middle point can't eat, either can the next acquisition. That was Ravina's answer. Rava answers differently. He disagrees with that. He says, you're right. The question is assuming right. The acquisition of an acquisition can eat directly from the Kayan. So why over here can't the Avdi Maluk eat Truma? Dr. Rava, Midaraisa Mechalachli. Midaraisa, those Avdi Maluk could eat Truma, even though the owner of them, the Amana, the Kayan Gadol, or the Grusha, the Kayan Hedjet, cannot. But Rabbanan who degazibahu. Rabbanan said, her avadim cannot eat truma. Rabbinically. Why? She should look at the situation and say, Ani ein echelus. I can't eat truma because I married this guy. Avdi ein echelin. My avadim can't eat truma. Zayne he atzlai. I'm basically being treated like a zayne, not like a wife. I have no my wifely right to have been impugned. That's the right English word, have been taken away from me. Therefore, it'll be a incentive for her to get out of the marriage. He'll get rid of her. She'll say to him, listen, this is not a relationship of husband and wife. This is more, I'm being treated like a zayna. Can't eat your truma. My avadim can't eat your truma. So it says, rabbinic zayra, biblically speaking, the avdim alu can eat truma. They're an acquisition of an acquisition, and they eat directly because of the Kayan. Unlike Ravina, who said they eat through her, no, they eat directly because of the Kayan. That was the Xeris HaKasim. But Rabbanan stepped in and said, no. Because there's no reason for us to make Xera. Mean according to Ravina?
Ravina.
Because it's not in a Kenyan. There it's not a case of a Kenyan of a Kenyan. There it's a case that she has offspring from the Kayan, so she can eat Truma directly from the offspring. It doesn't come through him. He's a Yisrael. He's a Mamzer. It's his existence in the world that maintains her relationship to her ex-husband.
What can you say Truma, not Truma in terms of food? Is it better food? Is it more convenient? You have to feed her regardless.
First of all, we went through this yesterday. L'chaira, he doesn't feed her. That was the question. A illegal marriage, he doesn't feed her. I think I spoke out the question yesterday.
No.
I didn't? Okay, I should have. There's a question in this whole Mishnah. He's not mechuyev to feed her. An illegal marriage is no chiyuv mezaynus. I spoke it out yesterday. I mentioned it yesterday.
Well, so
if
we want them out.
So there's no obligation to feed her, period. But the right to eat truma is a wife right. It makes her feel like she's a wife of the Kayan.
Part of the household.
Right. And when she can't eat truma, she's being She's being that way. She's being treated like a second-class wife. And that doesn't sit well with her. And not letting her avodim eat truma is a way of reinforcing your second class. You're a zayna. You're his partner just for those purposes. No right as a wife to have truma. You're not being treated with the respect of a wife. And she gets the message that I'm not being treated like a wife, so she'll say to her husband, maybe we should break this up. Not fancy truma. It could be not fancy truma. It's the right to eat truma that makes you feel as you're part of, you're an equal.
I don't get it. He doesn't have to feed her, right? I don't see that she said, I feel like a slave. I feel like a nothing because you're not even feeding me.
This is the kasha of the Rishayim. He doesn't even have to feed her. So what does it say over there? It said the lashon at the Mishnah. I mentioned it in the Mishnah. It says, chayim zareisam, hare elu yoichlu lo yoichlu betruma. And the question is he chayim zareisam? He doesn't have to feed his wife. He should feed her avadim. Her acquisition.
No, but Again.
This is a halacha mesechtes ksubas. An illegal marriage, he doesn't feed her.
At all.
He's not mechuyev.
He's not mechuyev,
but he won't. But the Mishnah used the words chayev b'mzenaitzan. The Mishnah used the words chayev b'mzenaitzan. Again, Rabbanon stepped in and said, an illegal marriage, he doesn't have to feed her. So this is the problem. I said, Rishonim have a problem with this Gemara. And there's all kinds of terusim said that he might not be mechuyev to feed her, but he's mechuyev to feed her avadim. That's what some want to say. There's a Taisa Shita that says he does have to feed her. We'll get to that later in the Masechta, but this is an issue. I just want to bring up the issue.
What's the issue? He still can feed
the Mishnah's Lashon. Ava Pishu Chayev Zenaitan. He has to feed her Avdei Melod. Doesn't say he wants to feed them. If the Mishnah wouldn't use the word Chayev, we would have no problem. You're right.
It sounds like you have to give her non-truma.
No.
It sounds like it.
Talk about that avodim. It's not talking about her. Again, let's go back. Is he chayav to feed her avodim or not? That's the question here.
Yeah.
He is? By an illegal... What? Mishnah says, I'm so chayav to feed her. You should have a problem because later on it's mashmana. That's all. It's nothing to do with this.
Even
Tain Barzo is different. Tain Barzo is his.
No, but the problem is, they're all coming from her.
But it's his now. I tell you what, wait Tain Barzo for 10 minutes. In 10 minutes from now, we'll talk about Tain Barzo. We're getting to Tain Barzo. At this point, we're talking about Malouk. We'll get to Tain Barzo in 10 minutes from now. Rashi, is there a Rashi here? I don't think so. Rav Ashi Amar, he says a third answer. You're right. Avnei Melug could eat truma, like Rava said. Biblically, they can eat truma. And he doesn't make it Zera because we want her to feel like a Zaina. He says a different reason. Zera Shem Atach Olach Amisa. What we're afraid is he might die and she might continue feeding them because in a regular marriage, if she has no children, she would continue to feed her avadim. She eats her avadim. Here, they're only eating because of him. She cannot eat truma. The minute he dies, they're out. So we're afraid to let them eat truma now because she might continue feeding them after he dies.
But Rabbi, where would she get the truma from after he dies?
You can buy it. You can buy truma from a kayan. There are places to acquire truma.
Like a truma shop. Okay.
It's cheaper, by the way, because it's a smaller market. Only kahanim can buy it.
I, 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 Yeah, I thought it was distributed directly to the Kohen families, and once she's a widow.
Yeah, usually, but she dies, she's not going to get that once he dies. Rashi Shematachu, Avdi Meluk Shalom Lachem Mises HaKohen Baila. Avdi Tzaybarz Oleka Lemigzer. They Tzaybarz, and we don't make that Gzera. The Hashta Lamishim Dido Achli. They're not eating because of her. They're not hers. Elam Shem Kohen Shul Rabba. So the minute he dies, right, she gets back to Tzayim Barzo, we'll see in a minute how, right? So Mamela, we're not afraid she'll feed them, but she doesn't view them as being belonging to her during the marriage. But Avdi Meluk is just continuing what happened. Therefore, we have a Gzera. Correct the Gemara. Elam Yatav, if you're worried about such mistakes, Bas Yisroel, Shenisis L'Kayin, L'Itachu, Gzera Shematachu L'Achamisa. To every Jewish girl that marries a Kayan, why aren't we afraid that she'll keep on feeding her Avadim after her husband dies? Forget the fact she's a Grusha. Why aren't we afraid she has no children, she's a Bas Yisro, who marries a Kayan, should not be able to feed her Avadim Truma, because when he dies, she'll continue feeding her Avadim Truma. And the truth is, the Rishonim say, she'll eat Truma herself. That's what the Rishonim points out. There's some are gairis, shema teichel lachamisa, not tachel. Right, the Gemara uses the word tachel, she'll feed. Some Rishonim say it could have said teichel, she'll eat.
Most women have children.
You made the gzeira here by Avdi Meluk, right? Rashi. Elamat, the Basi Soshin, this is the claim of the Avdi Meluk, but you make gzeira shema teichel lachamisa. Alom etzabe masnisen. We said in a legal marriage, they could eat. We don't make this gzeira. Emphat the Gemara. Ella Amar Ravashi, you're right. The gzeira is not by every woman. The gzeira is by Monas Kahanas. The gzeira is a Bas Kayan. A Bas Kayan who married a Kayan. Who married a Kayan. Right. She married a Kayan, right? I'm sorry? Well, if it's an Amona, she married a Kayan Gadol. And if it's a Grusha, she married a Kayan. It could be either. It depends who she is. It's an illegal marriage. It's only an illegal marriage if the Amona marries a Kayan Gadol. That's why the English says Kayan Gadol. Rashi says Kayan Gadol. But that's because of the Amona. But not for Grusha, you don't need a Kayan Gadol. So it depends which one it is. So anyway, she marries an illegal marriage. She's a Bas Kayan. She's a Bas Kayan. We're afraid that when the husband dies, she's going to feed her Avadim by saying they can eat because I go back home. Even though she can't eat Truma, we're afraid that she's going to say, listen, I was widowed once, or I was divorced, and I had no children. And I went back to my father's house and I ate truma, my avadim ate truma. Now, I'm widowed a second time. I'll go back and my avadim will eat truma. Like they used to because of my father's household. But then it doesn't true anymore because now she's a chalala, so her avadim can't eat truma. Because she doesn't go back to her father's house, so the avadim don't go back either. So the gzeira is only about amonas kahenas. The Asil Aruyeh should come be Meira Heter. Mikaru Achlu B'Truma De Bein Asham. I ate my father's house. Itzvi Lohai, I got married to this guy. Achlu B'Truma De Gavroi. I ate my husband's truma.
Could the other listeners eat themselves?
Didn't. My Avadim kept on eating. If we would go with the biblical rule, let's follow it. Here's a woman, Mrs. Widow. She's home with her Avadim. She has no children. She married Yisrael. She became widowed. And now she goes back home. She eats truma. Her avadim eat truma. If we would follow biblical law, she gets married to this Kohen Gadol. She has to stop eating truma. But her avadim can continue eating truma because they are eating because of the husband. Kinyan Shekana Kinyan. Right? That they can eat, the avadim can eat during the marriage. Biblically speaking. She's a chalala, but they can continue eating truma. So they ate truma before the marriage, and they ate truma during the marriage. Now, he divorces her or he dies. She goes back home. Now, she can't eat truma, but she couldn't eat during her marriage either. But they kept on eating. They ate before the marriage. They ate during the marriage. She'll say they can continue eating now, too, the way they ate before the marriage. Me, I lost it during the marriage. They didn't lose it during the marriage. They kept on eating. In her mind, she will think that her avodim status returns to pre-marriage to Kohen Gadol. Therefore, we said, avodim elul can't eat truma, because if they eat truma now, even though biblically they're entitled, because they're the acquisition of an acquisition, and they eat directly because of the Kohen. But she'll think, listen, these avodim ate before, they ate during the marriage, unlike me. They'll eat after the marriage as well, because I'm going back home. Now, I ruined it, but they didn't ruin it. The rye is they ate during the marriage. So therefore, in order to avoid that, we said no eating during the marriage. Again. Only for Bas Kayan. Again. They ate the truma of my father's house. Into the Lelahari, I married this Kayan Gadol. Achli b'truma de Gavroi. Biblically speaking, they ate my husband's truma. Well, Yadda, she won't realize she won't get that the Avodim lose it. They didn't lose it during the marriage, but after the marriage, they have to eat because of her, and they can't. So the Gemara Tenech Amanus Kehana, that works if she's a Bas Kayim. Amanus Bas Yisrael, my Yikilam Eimer. How about if she's a Bas Yisrael? She won't make that mistake, because they never ate before. Since if she's a Bas Kayan, there's a problem? They said, no Avdim Elul eat Truma, even if she's a Bas Yisrael. Because we don't want to start differentiating, it'll get too confusing. So in order to prevent the Bas Kayan from feeding her Avdim Elul, we say, no Avdim Elul can eat Truma in an illegal marriage.
Why is the Gemara only talking about money, not talking about
Yisrael? Same thing, they're just speaking one of you two. Rashi. She went back to her husband. If they're going to say that the Avdim Elul can eat during the lifetime of the Kohen Gadol, because their acquisition, no different than an Eved by Avadim, there'll be Meira Heter after he dies. The Amra, she will say, Mikara Bamanusi Arishin during my first widowhood, they ate my father's truma. Now, I had to stop because I got married to Kohen Gadol. Until the Kohen Gadol, they ate my husband's truma. They never had to stop. The Hashtag Shemes Hadil the Mosa Kamaisa, they'll eat my father's truma, Kimikara Bamanusi Arishin, like they did in my first widowhood. Amanabasi saw the Asimaruya Maikilamaber. What are you going to do with Amanabasi saw that won't make that mistake? My time of the Akhli Bakayev. Hamilikarim Beavit Chikan Avadim. And the answer is, they didn't want to make a difference. So at the end of the day, we have three answers. What? First answer was Ravina, who answered biblically. He said, biblically, the Avdim Elul cannot eat Truma, because they only eat through her. That the Kinyan Shekana Kinyan is the Torah's way of saying that through the Kenyan it goes to that Kenyan's Kenyan. So therefore, if she can't, it doesn't pass on. That's a biblical halacha. Rav and Rav Ashi disagree. They say biblically the Avdim Elul can eat truma. Rav says they want to make her feel unwanted, second class, so we don't let her Avdim eat truma, to reinforce to her this is a second class marriage. And Rav Ashi says if she's a Bas Kayan, we're afraid that they'll continue to eat truma, so therefore we made a light plug. Those are the three answers to the Gemara. Now we're moving to Tzayim Barzal, Itmar. And we're going to base it on the following Shaila. Hamachnesa Shum Lubayla. A woman gets married and she brings in Tzayim Barzal. The Tzayim Barzal can be metalkalin, it can be land, it can be whatever it is. And we spoke out in the Mishnah that he becomes the one in charge of all gains or losses. And the marriage ends. And he says to her, okay, your Tzayim Barzal was worth $10,000. Here is a check for $10,000. And she says, excuse me, I would like to have those items back. They're worth $10,000. Now too, I'd like to have my item back. I don't want money. I'd rather have my item. And he says, listen, lady, I owe you $10,000. Like, that's what it said in the Ksuba, that I will pay you today's value. I'm paying you $10,000. You have no right to ask for the kelim back. They are not yours. Fine. I don't have to give you back my kelim. I accepted to pay you the value of the day of the marriage. Here it is, $10,000 check. She says, I understand you don't owe me more than $10,000, but the kelim today are worth exactly $10,000 anyway. I'd rather have the kelim back. I want those items. Can she demand the items that she brought in? That's the question.
Yeah, but the problem with that is it goes up in price.
Again, obviously she can't.
I'm talking about in the future. If she gets it back, if it goes up in price.
So first of all, the Gemara will talk about it later. Let's say she offers to buy it at today's price. As you owe me $10,000, it's worth $15 now, here's a check for $5, I want the thing back. The Gemara's going to talk about that later. Let's just to knock off your question now, let's say that. But let's say it's worth $10 today. And they're arguing about whether he has to give her the item or a check or cash. Exactly. Itmar. Hamaknes is shum lebailo. She brings in that was evaluated. That's called tsoy barzo. Milug is not evaluated. It makes no difference to him what it's worth at the day of the chasana. We don't have to write it down. It's hers. Right? All he gets is the payrus. But tsoy barzo, we have to know its value. So it's evaluated. He I Maris.
Why would she do that?
Well, let's say it's land. It might appreciate in value.
But Evan's usually going to depreciate. You know, with age, you
know, true, true, true. But, you know, there could be an affinity.
Yeah,
hey, Maris, Cleonina tell us. She wants her item back. Who I'm done with money nice, and he says, I'll pay you. Hadin imli. Who wins? Rashi. Hamachnas and Shumla Baila Nixa Tsaybarzo, Shishamala Buksubasa, she evaluated the Ksuba. Vahayim Bam Kalim, the Dover Hamasuyim. It was Kalim or something specific. Ukshagirsha Basa little Ksubasa. Now he divorced her and she's coming to get her Ksuba. Here I'm Aris Kleonine, tell us. Who I'm done with money nice. As I promised you when they evaluated. They're my responsibility. And they're mine. So who wins? Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Adinima. It's hers. And at this point, the Gemara understands she owns it. She owns the item. He's totally responsible. All appreciation is his. All depreciation is his. But Lamai says she owns it. Rabbi Ami Amar Adinima. Ravami says, no, he owns it. It's his. He owes her money. The way it's explained is because it's an item that came from her family. She has a right to say, this is my family's item. Heirloom, he calls it? Yeah, this is my family's item. I want it back. This is my mother's leichter. This was my my grandfather's cane. Whatever it might be. I have a And if it's mine, I will, you know, I'll take the item. Again, granted that any appreciation and value is yours, but the item is mine. And Rav Ami Amar Adin Imoik, even though Amar Mara Mesu Loiv and Mesu Siru Siru Loiv, since it says he gets the loss and the appreciation, and since he's responsible, they can eat Truma, doesn't that mean they belong to him? Aren't we saying that they belong to him? Why else can they eat truma? And every appreciation and depreciation is his. So it's a riot that belongs to him. So we have a machloikas of Yehuda and Rav Ami. Zok Rashi. Hadin ima v'titu keleha. Yaiklu v'daklu truma shmami nadideinenu. If they're eating truma, it must be his. Because if it were hers, they wouldn't be eating truma. She's a chalola. So this is the machloikas. So going back to what you wanted to talk about Tzoy Barzo, I don't know what you wanted to say. I said we'll wait for this Gemara and then it should be resolved. I don't know.
The thing is the difference between her and the ball. That's what I wanted to differentiate.
Right.
Or
them eating on because of who's cooked. Where they're not.
And is that, well, it depends. Rabbi Yehuda, we'll have to see how he understands this eating the truma business, right? But Ravami is very clear. His avodim, he bought it. When he got married, he bought the avodim to be paid at a different date. He'll pay her at a different date, but he bought it. When she brings in the avodim, we evaluate them at $10,000. We write that he owes her $10,000 at the termination of the marriage, and he owns the avodim.
In an illegal type marriage, that doesn't matter.
He bought it anyway. It's his.
The way he got it through
that doesn't matter. Amar Rav Safra. So Rav Safra said he doesn't see the raya from Truma. Because the Mishnah didn't say it belongs to him. The Mishnah says he's responsible for it. Mik Tani Behen Shaloi Hayo V'chaya Bachriyusam Tani U'loylam Lavdi Deinino. That's not a raya from Truma. The Mishnah never said the Avodah Avdei Tzein Barzo belonged to him. They said since it's under his responsibility, therefore they can eat Truma, because he's responsible for them. But it could be it belongs to her. So the Raya we brought from the fact that they eat Truma, the Mishnah never said Avdei Tzein Barzo Hayo V'Hein Shaloi. It used the word Chaya Bachriyusan. Now at this point the Gemara thinks his acceptance of the responsibility of the avodim allows him to feed them truma, even though he doesn't legally own them. But since he has the responsibility for them, and the Gemara is going to question that right now, but that's what the Gemara is answering. Notice the Mishnah. The Mishnah never said that the Tzein Barzo eat truma because they belong to him. That's how Rav Ami understood it. The Mishnah said he's responsible for them, and because he's responsible, that gives him a right as a kayan to feed them truma, which the Gemara will now question. But that's what Rav Safra's answer is. Truma is not a raya. Again, that's going to be the Gemara right now. Wait 5 minutes. I don't know. I'm going to take a little longer.
Right now, they want a divorce, and the product is worth $15,000 instead of $10,000. That $5,000, forget about she was, I don't care about that. The $5,000 extra that Chavis is worth, who gets that profit?
He does.
He gets the profit. That's a raya. He owns it.
No, it's not a raya. That's exactly what we're saying. Not a raya. You can make a deal with somebody. You will take care of my animal. We're going to see this. Give 5 more minutes.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
The discussion we just left about whether or not when a husband can, or a soon-to-be ex-wife can claim her own property back in its own barzal situation, is that discussion only in the context of a avodim, or is it with any property?
Any property.
So it just seems
to me
that...
Thing that you brought into the marriage.
Yes, so, and that can be actual land as well, correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, it's.
Again, she would have to replace, if it increased the value, she would have to pay him for that.
No, I understand all that. But he may have entered this marriage in its own barzal situation for one of the reasons being that she owned land convenient to his land or a place where he lived, and he would like to work that land. It's a good wife if she's going to bring in land that he can now use that's close to his land. And so my point just being that there may be certain emotional attachments she has to property. There may be a negotiation that went on based on specifics about that property as well from his end. So how do the equities lie with her thinking that this is something that's nice from her family when whether it was Malug or whether it was Son Barzel could have been part of the negotiations before they entered the marriage?
Again, if the rule is that it still belongs to her and she can get it back, so making it Son Barzel won't change that. Again, he could say to her, I'm only marrying you if you sell me this land outright. Not as Tzein Barzo, but as a total sale. But then don't bring it in as Tnai Barza. Let's reword this. I'm not marrying you unless you sell me that piece of land as a sale.
But why should he have to? Why should he have to do that? That's now making him pay more for that right. All I'm saying
is, why is he paying more?
Because
what do you mean he has to shell out the money now?
Well, he wouldn't be paying anything. If he,
Tnai Barza is a means of the way Chazal set up a tzuba. They're protecting him, protecting her. It's to protect both of them, right? We want to do it in an equitable way. So we say to this lady, listen, lady, you have property. You can decide how you want to do the property. But we're not asking her to give, according to Yehuda, she still is the quote-unquote owner of the item throughout. She's not giving it away. She's only having an arrangement during their marriage. After the marriage is finished, she has no reason to want to be nice to the guy.
I understand, but Rav Yehuda says that's because she has an emotional attachment to that particular
That's why Chazal structured it this way.
But all I'm saying is he may have a business attachment to that item. So why should it be that way? If that's the reason we interpret the end game for Tzon Barza, why should it be that way? Why doesn't he also have attachments to it? Or he might, just like she might. Why shouldn't he also be able to say...
Because it's hers. Because it started off as hers. This is her item. He is getting it from her. How can we put his attachment over her attachment when he's getting it from her? So obviously, she's going to be the quote-unquote driver of this more than him. He's the recipient. She's the one giving it.
I know, but that may be a condition of him entering the marriage.
He can do that. He can write whatever he wants in the Nixubah, but that's not signed by herself. He can spell that out. In any monetary contract, you can spell it out. But then it's not called Tnai Barza. Then you're not working with Chazal's structure.
If
he won't marry her unless she gives up that right, he can write that into the syllable on condition that you will not demand this back ever.
I understand, but I don't understand why they're... It seems like it's a circular argument because it's Tnai Barza... It's emotionally hers, and that's what Tnai Barza is. Why don't we say that it's also part of his dealing of why he entered this thing? I just don't understand why we start with the underpinning that every item that it's Tnai Barza, she's going to have an emotional attachment to it. Or
she might not. You're right, she might not. But if she's asking for it back, that means she does. Again, the question is, how did Chazal structure this takana? This whole setup of Tnai Barza was a takanas Chazal. Chazal said there's two ways to bring in property. Now, they can make their own deal, but this is the template that Chazal set up for women bringing in money to a marriage. They set up a template, if that's the correct word I want to use.
Protocol.
And they offered two choices, and they set up the choices. Now, the two parties can make their own agreement. But that's using their own structure, not using Chazal's protocol, which is fine. Because now we're talking to people who don't have their own agreements. They want to use Chazal's setup. So Chazal set it up this way.
I know. I'm just asking why. That's all. I know they did. I know that's the prototype. I'm just asking why that should be the underlying assumption. Okay, I'll drop it.
Okay.
My question is there a default setting if they don't come to any agreement? Like these days, we don't make up those kind of contracts. So is there a default setting at time of Chazal?
I mean, what would happen if they didn't decide what's Tnai Barza and what's Malug?
Yes.
I don't know what would happen. I don't know.
Tnai Barza means like indestructible sheep. No matter what happens, even if they die, it's very time.
That's the Shiloh.
She's assured that she's going to get that money at that.
Money or item? That's the question.
Right,
that's the Magloika.
You're the one with that sheep. You want the value.
That's true. Right. But what if she wants the item?
So you're going to appreciate it.
So she'll pay the difference. You know, the Mefarshim talk about the following, Shiloh. What if he wants to give her the item and she wants cash? She's saying, I'm not interested in the item. I know it's worth $10,000. I don't want it. I want cash.
But he wants it, right?
Well, according to the Ravami, who says it's his, then she has a right to insist on cash.
Right.
According to Yehuda, it says it's hers. What's the halacha? There's a big shiloh. But we're still in the half meter of the Gemara. The Maskon of the Gemara, things will change slightly. And that'll affect that shiloh. But if she doesn't want the item, she has no emotional attachment to the item. She loves cash. Anyway, affect the Gemara. Fine. So Rav Safra's answer was, eating truma does not necessarily mean legal ownership. Achrayas is enough to feed truma, and that's what the Gemara is going to zero in now. The word achrayas is a very broad term. Responsibility. Responsibility for what? Frank the Gemara. Is that a fact? That if a kohen accepts responsibility, that gives him a right to feed truma? But not. We have a Mishnah. Yisrael shesachar parah mikayin. A Yisrael that rented a cow from a kayin. So it's the kayin's cow. Yisrael rented it. He's now responsible. That's for argument's sake, for gneiva v'aveda. If it gets stolen or lost, he has to replace it. He's not responsible for depreciation or appreciation or accidents. He rented a parah. He has responsibility as a renter, but that responsibility does not include appreciation or depreciation. He can feed the animal. Kashine, I think, is vetch. What does he say? Vetch of truma. Vetch is an interesting thing. It is a animal food that sometimes humans consume. Because if it were a total animal food, then it's not chayev in truma. And if it's a total human food, some rishonim hold you're not allowed to feed it to animals. You're not allowed to feed human truma to animals. It's a waste of the truma. You don't feed animals human food of truma. You're not allowed to. So this is a medium thing. It's really an animal food that has human consumption also. Therefore, it's chayev b'truma. It's not like it's rishonim whether this is biblical or rabbinic. But it's chayev b'truma. But since it's mainly animal food, you can feed it to the animals. But you can feed it because it's the kohen's animal. Even though the Yisrael is responsible. Doesn't make a difference. The animal belongs to the kohen. How about kohen shesachar parah Yisrael? The kohen accepts responsibility. Ava bishem et denesel olav. Even though he obligated himself to feed it. Lo yachilenu kashine truma. Cannot feed it truma. It's not his animal. But what do you mean? He's responsible. You just said responsibility allows truma. Dr. Gemara Batisbara, how do you understand that question? True, he's responsible if it gets stolen or lost. But if something happens by accident, the kachasha, or if it gets skinnier, or benifchas demel, or depreciation, he has no chiyav in everything. He has some responsibility. Doesn't have all the responsibility. The case of Nixei Tzayim Bazo is more similar to the next case. Yisrael Shasham Paramikayan. A Yisrael went and he evaluated a par of a Mikayan. Meaning, he said to the Kayan, let's evaluate this animal. I will give it back to you at this current value or make up the money. Right? Similar to a Tzayim Barzo, but this is between two men, a Yisrael and a Kayan. And we will split the babies. I will raise the animal. I will raise the animal. I will take care of the animal. I'm responsible for the value of the animal. And your gain of the deal will be that I am, we'll split the baby. You'll get half, I'll get half. Well, it says here, we view the Yisrael as the owner. So we see the total responsibility, even though you don't own it, is enough to give truma. So that's the answer. Here is a case that the Yisrael took the animal from the Kayan. They gave an evaluation. It does not belong to the Yisrael. The Kayans, but the Yisrael accepted total responsibility, including price.
In the event of what happens?
Appreciation, depreciation, it dies. Whatever it is, he's going to replace it. He's responsible. He can eat truma. If he's a Kayan. If he's a Yisrael, he can't eat truma. That means we go by the person who has total responsibility, even though legally it doesn't belong to him. That's our answer for Tzayim Barzo. Rav Yehuda holds legally it belongs to her, but the husband accepted total responsibility. Clear word here is total. Total responsibility gives him a right to feed her truma. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Chesachar Parmi Yisrael, Vasaychar Chai Bach Yusa. The Saychar is responsible. If Nignavai Nevda, if it got stolen or lost. If Tani Lo Yachalenu Kashine Truma, it says he can't feed Kashine Truma. How he gets in the Tisbra? He cannot feed Truma. Right? The Kayan rented it, but it's Yisrael's para. You can't feed Truma to an animal of Yisrael. You can only feed it to an animal of a Kayan.
But the love is there is because it's Pagam. It doesn't do with
the I have no idea what you're talking about.
You said you can't give.
I said Kashinin is the exception. That you can feed it to an animal because it's basically animal food. But animal food is usually not chayiv in truma. So why is there kashine truma? So I said, because since sometimes humans consume it, it's chayiv in truma, machlokes rishonim biblically or rabbinically.
So it is chayiv in truma.
Correct. Correct.
You don't feed it because it's not the property of a
kohen. Correct. Take a look at the top tesis. Kashine truma. No, the top Titus is not long. I'm a re. The ikram kaimi lamacho behema. It's mostly for animal food. The mahi ikram la'adam ayasha litna behema. Shem haps the truma. Mikol makim chazi la'adam. The iloi chazi klau la'adam. Ptura mitruma. So it's really animal food that humans also consume. That's, you added those words.
Is barley usually
an
animal food?
It's more human food than this is. How can you see if it is very neat? By itself, the kaksha benifkas the mammy chayav is the chayav einsen, or if it depreciates or loses value, take a patim and einsen. The kind of kaksha of muzul the mouth, if it got skinnier or got cheaper. How much this may damn you say, if a kind of shum part of me so, but damn him with money, because you suffer a minute when he rented it. Shomalai, he evaluated it. On the sides it says, Hisna lagzuloi damim elum takin shayhuzlu demav. He made a condition that he will give him back the money if it gets skinnier or gets cheaper. Shiachilena, he can feed her kashine truma. Hayo kibla chayusa, he accepted total responsibility. V'yavagav shechazeres v'neam lo yipchusu demav, even though he gives it back at the end of the deal, Kol kamad lehadra, but as long as he didn't give it back to Dehu, it's considered his. Gabav adam nami. Avagav dehadra be'enehu, even though Rabbi Yehuda says she has a right to demand these avadim, kivin in yukra v'zula kaimah b'shusei, since for price it's his, achli they can eat. So we're still left with this machlokes, and at this point, we assume that the machlokes is, who is the legal owner of these avadim? Him or her? She can eat. They can eat truma anyway, because he's totally responsible. And Rami holds he's the legal owner, and Rav Yehuda holds she's the legal owner. Even though during the marriage she has zero say, and even though if it depreciates or appreciates, it's all his. But the bottom line is she retains ownership at the end of marriage. That's Rav Yehuda's far. At this point, it will change, but at this point. Zakti Gemara Veiter. Yosef Rabba and Rav Yosef, Bishili Perkud Rav Nachman. Rabba and Rav Yosef were sitting at the end of the shir of Rav Nachman. But Yosef and Amri, they were saying and saying, Tanya Kavasid Rav Yehuda, but Tanya Kavasid Rav Ami. We have a riot to Rav Yehuda, and we have a riot to Rav Ami. Tanya Kavasid Rav Ami. Avdei Tzai Barzo Yaitzim B'Shem V'Ayin La'ish, Avaloi La'isha. The rule is, if the owner knocks out a tooth or an eye of the Eved Kanani, they go free. If a non-owner knocks out the tooth or the eye, they don't go free. So in Tzai Barzo, who is the owner? Sukta Brisa, the man is the one that gets frees his Eved by knocking out his tooth or an eye, not the woman. Doesn't that prove that he is the owner? Rashi, Dr. Rashi, Bishili Pirkit, Shasai Madrasha, Bishem Vayan, and Simma Habal Esenai, if he blinded the Eved's eye, Avaloi Leisha, and Simsa Enai, if she blinded the eye, the Labdi Dahi, it's not hers. So here's a brisa that seems to prove Ravami right. We make him the owner. He is the one that goes on B'Shem V'Ayin. So that should affect Shem V'Ayin? That affects Truma.
We're just saying responsibility is responsibility. It affects everything.
That's the Rishayim's kasha.
I'm sorry, Rebbe. There's too much noise.
Aram Kohn has asked the Rishayim's kasha. Why don't we say that Shem V'Ayin also depends on total responsibility, not on legal ownership? That's what Avram Cohn asks. So, some Rishayim say that the answer is that it should go out for both. She is the owner, and he's the responsible one. So why does it say have a loy Leisha? She's still the owner. So it must be that she's not the owner. That's what some Rishayim answer. But your kasha is a kasha that we shine him.
You.
Tysus asked the kasha. You mechavim to Tysus' kasha. I want everybody to know, Avram Cohen was mechavim.
No, this is
where your wife does. Okay. Mrs. Cohen, are you on the chair if you're on
the
chair?
Yeah, she's the one that took out the top measure. Serious.
Tanya Kavasid Rav Yehuda. Hamakneses Shum Lebaila. If somebody brings in a Nixay Tzayim Barzo to her husband, Imratza Abau Limkar Lo Yimkar. He has no right to sell it. Rashi Lo Yimkar Shemi Gesheno Tito Kala. Because if he divorces her, she has a right to ask for it back. That means he's not the legal owner. Because if he were the legal owner, why can't he sell it? So that's a right of Yehuda. So we have brises lined up on both sides. One saying, he is the owner. One saying, he's not the owner. That's the machlokes. V'loyayit. Not only that. El afilu hichnis lo shum mishaloi. Imratza ba'alimkar lo yimkar. This is a case as follows. This is Ramban's explanation of this case. Rashi doesn't say anything. And that is, what happens if they evaluated her Tzayim Barzo at $10,000? So the husband says to the wife, listen, lady, you know, let's do this deal. You see this piece of land? This will be where you collect your Tzayim Barzo. I am designating this land instead of your items. And she agrees that he's going to designate that land, and that will replace her items. So now that becomes her Tzayim Barzo. And I know Harvey's going to ask me in a minute, there's no emotional attachment to that land because that didn't come from her family. But since it replaces those items, it gets the same halacha, even though there's no emotional attachment. And therefore, that piece of land belongs to her, that he can't sell it. Because just like he wasn't allowed to sell her items, but he designates that piece of land instead of those items, it gets the same halacha. That's how Ramban explains this. So, he brought something in equal in value that he replaced the Tzayim Barzo in Rata Baal Limkar La Yimkar. If you want to sell it, cannot sell it. We will continue this tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.